keep Ray standing up here forever because he may get a little tired, although sometimes when our hearts are very full, it's pretty good medicine to be able to have a group of listeners that are eager to hear and eager to help than just there to discount and make your life a little more rotten. As we move along, you see, Dorma is greatly excited to have one such as Ray come into the group because she can see that out there, part of this load gets turned over because these are things that are better heard from someone, and especially if you can know that they are valid. And then we can move on because our thrust is to grow up through that which comes to be. You don't have to finish out the prophecies as laid down for you. That's just more of the black plan. A lot of the prophecies are correct, but it's like the good fortune teller that says you're going to get hit by a Ford on Thursday and dead. You are. On Thursday, you're going to find the Ford. You'll wait for it. You won't let a Chevrolet get you, but by golly, that if you believe it enough. And so the entire thrust of this global government element, the one world, by its very word, tells you what it is. It is the Antichrist. It is the anti-God. Because it says one world. World is a physical place. And any evil projected has to come from the human because evil is not allowed in the higher places of God. Evil is a construction of the human species, of man. And therefore, you don't have it somewhere else. And therefore, the only thing to be gleaned by those practicing total evil, and that means pulling you from your path, deliberately pulling you from your path to your divine source and light. And there is where I want to teach. And as we come into some recognition of having projected truth, and I know that, for instance, Ray can't go read 60 journals this evening, but I can hardly wait until he starts reading quite a few of them. He's going to find his own words coming back, and he's going to wonder where he's been for the last 4 years. Well, at least Dorma knows one thing. She knows where she's been for the last 4 years. And so does EJ. And yet what a grand and wondrous thing to be in knowledge. It's not great to be in ignorance. Not knowing is not saving self from anything. Bliss does not come with ignorance. Lack of fear comes with knowing. Oh, you can get scared and you can be terrified, and from time to time you better be, because you get to be the target, you the people. And I'm in great joy to be able to share some of this. I appreciated John Coleman sharing with us. His aspect was different. He came from British intelligence, but once in British intelligence, never out of British intelligence. And if you try to break away, the insiders will get you one way or another, either through disinformation or literally shoot you down with whatever you're trying to do. And it's very sad, because if one stick with me, I can keep them in protection. All of you, please remember that. When you discount and pull away, you're very, very subject to a lot of problems. And what is coming back now is that it is being reported that we are satanically evil and that we're evil incarnate. Now, that's saying some pretty strong words right in the face of God. And usually ones don't do very well after that. Is that because we get mad on our side No. It's because the things of the earth, the things of physical, have gained and gotten control. God is not what you once think. And I would like to get on with the outlay of that. And I have to get beyond Bush to get there, you see. Because you have to understand what's happening with Bush and the one world order and the global government to be able to even remotely understand that you can change the prophecies that are laid forth, just as you can change the Plan 2000. But if you don't know what the Plan 2000 is, you can't change it, can you? You don't know what to change. And if one choose to be blind enough to say that nothing is wrong and it's all just getting better, you are really in la-la land and it's serious time. I told the attorneys, you see, I have a way of popping up at the most inopportune times in the lobbies of lawyers' offices and in restaurants, and it usually leaves quite a few ones with their mouth open, especially the waitresses. What's gone wrong with that woman? Well, I don't hide. And we communicate when and where we can. And I told the first attorneys, who were already having a very bad go of it, that they were going to find that this one dwelling, this one incident, is only representative of hundreds of thousands, that the RTC, this one world government, plans to get all property, period. Money, land, you name it. They plan to have it, including you. Whoever they choose to leave to exist, to serve them. Now, they don't need your money. Your taxes don't even pay the interest debt. They just go print more. They don't need your money. That's also hollow. That's false. And they will manipulate that money when it's convenient for them. So I would hope that you ones would share with Ray some of our expressions, because there's no way to catch him up on how we manage some of those things. But it's just really incredibly gifted for us, for you to be here, and I thank you. And I would really like it if someone else could come up with some questions. I told these lawyers that it's going to go all the way to the White House. This one house. It's going to go through your governor and it has. And then when you started unwinding the confirmation of the San Luis Obispo connection, you see, it's all dealing with that real estate and drug trade and security shelters. Let's talk about security shelters. Tell us right about the security shelters. I went through and I just, you know, gave everybody a picture and published it of major underground facilities. Well, I believe that you have seen that, and I think that you've added that there are about 50 more that I missed.
Well, okay, to strengthen what you've been saying, I hadn't any connection to the Phoenix Liberator, the commander, until I met George Green down in L.A. on May 9th and 10th at the UFO Expo. Another thing I wanted to bring up, Ronald Reagan talking about self-fulfilling prophecy. Ronald Reagan said many times in speeches that we are living out Armageddon and words to that effect. And one comment on the Kennedy assassination, I think there's a line from Sherlock Holmes that I don't know the exact wording, but it's something that when you sort out all the BS, what's left has to be the truth. And on the underground facilities, about 15 years ago, the San Luis Obispo connection here, mainly the Clarks and the Galen organization, were going to build a huge resort. And the plans existed. I have seen the plans. I can probably get Xerox copies of them, except I would be putting someone in danger, so I won't do it. The plans call for this great big beautiful condominium project out in between Shandon and Atascadero and that area, Creston. It calls for two golf courses, tennis courts, helipads for helicopters to land, a landing strip for airplanes. It's just the most exclusive resort area for the beautiful people, the elite. And the plans are all made. It went through the Coastal Commission. I have a friend who works for the telephone company, and he said all the underground connecting wires and cables and everything were all put in. A huge underground communications depot was installed. And after all the support facilities were laid into this area, they decided that there wasn't enough water there, so they abandoned the project. Well, for one thing, there's plenty of water out there. That area of San Luis Obispo has got a sitting on an ocean of underground water. And
sitting on an ocean, too.
Yes. And what happened, they said the project was abandoned. Well, after all the support facilities went in, I got word from people that the construction still went on, but there was no visible construction. So we assumed that it just went underground. Now, the name of this condominium project was to be called Eagle's Nest. Eagle's Nest, you remember, was the name of Hitler's secret hideaway at Berchtesgaden in Bavaria. And it was the same people. And Wernher von Braun's niece was in on it. And I get rumors every once in a while that this construction is being completed, and it's a huge underground condominium project. There are several of these in San Luis County. I know Camp Roberts and Hunter Lake, they have underground facilities, which most military bases do have underground storage facilities and communication depots. But there are underground hotels for the elite, like Weather Mountain and on the East Coast. And
you want to share funny?
Pardon?
You should watch them in their planning, trying to arrange this earthquake so it doesn't wipe them out.
Yeah. I understand. I don't know. I might have read it in the Liberator papers about a lot of these underground facilities. These earthquakes are cracking and water's running into them now. So I don't know.
God's going to destroy them.
A question.
Yes.
Have you run across Brad Scowcroft?
Okay, the question was about Brent Scowcroft's connection. All I know about Brent Scowcroft is Brent Scowcroft has a lot of stock in the oil wells in Kuwait. Now, a lot of these oil wells in Kuwait were actually drilled by the Zapata Oil Company. And there's another company from Southern California, I think it's Santa Fe Drilling, who specializes in slant drilling, and they drilled slant from the first they moved the Kuwaiti border 9 miles more into Iraq, and then they slant drilled into the Iraqi oil fields. And Brent Scowcroft was a large stockholder in the Kuwaiti oil fields. In fact, less than 10% of the revenues from the Kuwaiti oil fields go to Kuwait. 90% of them go to British and American and French companies, of which George Bush is a large stockholder in, too. And Harkin Oil is run by George Bush Jr., and they have the oil drilling rights in the Gulf of Persian Gulf right off of Bahrain. So you can see where the emphasis is.
He's involved right to and over his head, and has been right along the trail, not to the stature of a Kissinger, but a lot of power. And he's managed to always be a top advisor, and you notice that right now he is the chief advisor. And he is also the one that set up the plan to funnel the money through to Iraq through BNL.
Anyone else have any questions? Yes, ma'am.
I was wondering about Kissinger's name, it ends with an E-R also. Was his name von Kissing?
I don't know. I know his name was Heinz.
His name started out, it was not Kissinger at all. I'd have to go look it up myself, but.
His mother's name was Stern. Was he connected with the Stern gang?
Absolutely.
I had another.
You only have about five elite. You're just going to keep meeting them all the time. They're fragmented. It's very hard to keep up. It's just like running into yourself out there all the time. And the more ones choose, you're going to find yourself in a... You're going to find yourself in a cell, if you will. And you're going to recognize yourself as Bo Gratch comes around the corner. And the same with this elite bunch. The names, they may change, but they will always carry the identity, just as ones are required to wear a clue that will be there. They have to keep these connections and to honor those promises made at little game-playing time like Skull and Bones. There have to be the labels, and those commitments are met, or you get suicided right away. So it begins as you plow through this absolute dungeon of darkness. You begin to get light, and as ones like Eustace Mullins write on, you know, he can write an article on the Federal Reserve, and then, well, I think I'll write an article now on the pharmaceutical houses, or like Ray did, the more you dig, the more incredible it seems to become. And then when you get to the end, which you never will, but you're going to find it's all the same bunch. And you're going to find the same ones. You're going to find the Rothschilds. You're going to find the same ones over and over and over, or branches thereof, going through the society to accomplish this. And then there will be you of the thinking, what we will call the opposition, or let's call you the godly bunch, the goodly company, the goodly crowd. And your purpose, you're going to find, is not necessarily to do anything to these ones except inform the people and take a stand. You know, Greitz would say, well, I believe if we just had a mission and we just go in there and get rid of some of these suckers. Well, that's not what he said. That's not what he called them. And I had to say, well, now, son, just let's look at that. Who would you go shoot? Well, there probably are several. Yes, but how are you going to get the one? You're dealing with replications now. They couldn't even kill this Bush replica in the middle of a meeting in Japan. He just came right back from the dead, didn't he? So this is a real flexible being you've got going. Well, what ones want to do is say, well, it must be Kissinger. Can't be Kissinger. Kissinger had a head-on collision over the ocean, and he and Nancy were both killed. And they had to drop him out while they rebuilt him. So he is a strong arm. And when we talk about the beautiful people now, isn't Henry Kissinger and Itzhak Shamir beautiful?
Yeah.
Now, Shamir is one of the meanest little beasts that ever was on your place, and he does look like a gray alien, as near as you're going to find, walking around in its humanoid form, without love, without being, without care. This man is mean. But he's no meaner than the one you just put in. Rabin, is it? They're only both surpassed by Sharon in total villainy. And the Mossad trains the KGB. So when you see things like Baker just having to, I was in your neighborhood, Mr. Lebanon, so I just dropped in. a little secret side trip. You are getting ready for a biggie. A biggie. Now, you're either going to go sweetly and nicely, or you're going to get dead. They have all sorts of ways to get you dead now. They have a new virus, right? Your recreational vehicle virus. Well, it's your new HIC virus. HICRV. They built it. And they told you they were doing that. They just brought your shuttle back and said, oh, they did these, they grew these viruses. And then within a few days and weeks, you see, you have a new virus to report to the AIDS convention. And, oh, yes, we have a few patients here and there, and we don't have any cure. But we're going to get really busy on it right now. Well, I want to tell you, if you blow up that agriculture building, if that's the building you choose to blow up, and Bush is really torn because it's got all the records, it's going to just hang him. You are also going to release anthrax. Man, it is a booby trap. You bomb that place, and you are going to loose Pandora's box on this world. I'm sorry, Ray. I started talking, and I interrupted you.
Well, I just have one question. What about the Clinton forces? How do they do? Are they aware of Bush's plans of the New World Order? And are they accepting this?
You're dealing with oh my, the Bilderbergs, which is the major arm, the right hand, if you will, of the Committee of 300 or this Club of Rome, this elite committee, decided over a year ago that Clinton would be the president and they would boost Bush into a higher capacity. And Al Gore comes along and he's perfect. He's right out of the same mold. So, yes, they know what they're doing. Sorry about that, Ray. I shouldn't have fielded that question.
Well, I think I just left a few loose ends a while back. I was talking about Stephen Carr, the Green Beret Special Forces man down in Panama. He was eyewitness to the drug planes coming into Panama. And I don't know if I finished up by saying he was also eyewitness to the same planes landing at Homestead Air Force Base in Florida. And he personally witnessed the president's son, Jeb Bush, as being one of the persons that met these planes. Also, these drug planes, in Arkansas, where Clinton is governor, there's an airfield there. This was on a television broadcast about a month or so ago. What is it, Minot, Arkansas? I'm not sure the exact name.
Minot, yes.
It's where these C-130s come in landing. And they're the ones that, you know, the ones that the Peruvians shot at because these drug interdiction planes were down there, only 500 miles off the coast. And what were they doing out there? They were supposed to be looking for drug things in the jungle. Well, they were there. They weren't drug interdiction planes. They were drug cargo planes. And some of them were going into Arkansas. And a man and a woman, their son was on one of these flights and got killed or something. And they petitioned the governor, Clinton, to investigate this death. So he knows what he knows about these C-130s landing there too. So anyhow, this is Stephen Carr was on his way to Washington when he got killed, when he got caught in Southern California, and he was killed by the same people that did a lot of the murders in San Luis Obispo, and all the way down to Tijuana. Enrique Camarena, I think he was in on that that deal somehow. But Stephen Carr was on his way to Washington to testify before the Senate Kerry Committee on narcotics and terrorism, which is a pretty whitewashed, watered-down investigation of drug trafficking in Central America. But if you read between the lines, you can pick a lot out of it. And I think I left another thing up in the air when I was talking about Vicky Morgan and the way she died. She wasn't killed for the tapes, because killing her wouldn't erase the tapes. They'd just make them more valuable. She was killed because she said she had information that would bring down the Reagan administration. And one of the people that she knew very well was Larry McDonald. And Larry McDonald also said that he new things that could bring down the Reagan administration. Now, we're talking about the right wing, not the left wing. Now, we're talking about the head of the John Birch Society in South Carolina. And he had some kind of a relationship with Vicki Morgan. I don't know if it was a business relationship or just a social relationship or just a change of information. But it was 7 weeks later when he disappeared in the KAL-007 thing. So I guess that I don't know if I hadn't finished up those loose ends. So anyhow, where I'm from, I'm right in the middle of a hornet's nest. And there's a, in the movie JFK, Fletcher Prouty is talking to Jim Garrison in Washington. And Garrison said to Fletcher Prouty, well, you got to go public on all this information. This really didn't happen. They just used the conversation between Fletcher Prouty and Jim Garrison to make the storyline have some more continuity to it. But Garrison says, you should go public with this. And he says, oh, no, not me. He says, man, they take me out in a minute. And Garrison said something about, well, what about me? And they said, you got too much light on you, which means you're in the spotlight. They can't afford to take you out. So in the last few months, I've gotten more light on me in more than one way, I think. So anyhow, I think there are a lot of people in San Luis County that don't want to hear my name anymore. They won't even, I'm supposed to go to a trial. I don't think I'll ever go there because I think they'll come and make an accommodation with me before it goes there because they don't want me standing in court like I did the last time when I said I told the judge, I said I couldn't get an attorney, Your Honor, because none of the local attorneys will take my case because, you know, after all, they're all working for the Galen organization too. And I said, especially after I did an analysis of the 007 and accused Judge William P. Clark of the murder of 269 people, and I said this real loud in the courtroom, you know. Ooh, they didn't like to hear that. Anyone have any more questions? Oh, well, I just wanted to say that I've seen the plane. I know what it looks like. It's like a twin-engine plane, but the engines are way out at the end of the wing. And the propellers are huge. They're almost like a helicopter. They're about halfway between a standard aircraft propeller and a helicopter propeller. And the plane couldn't possibly land with the engines with those props as they hit the ground. So what they do is they turn the engines vertical so the plane can come over a field, and then it can slow down and gradually turn its engines vertical and come straight down and land on a dime. And you can see if there's an engine on one wing tip and another engine on the other wing tip, if one of them engines quit and the other one was going, I mean, that thing would come down like a rock. Yeah, there's a shaft between them, and I don't know if that's where the problem, where the big problem was, is the shaft connecting shafts or not, but they've had problems with it. Anyone have any questions? Any more questions? Yes.
I just was talking to a friend the other day that's in the Mormon church. He's the finance clerk, and the American Express, as pointed out in the Committee of 300, is one of the elites or the Committee of 300's so-called financial organizations.
Yes, a Kissinger.
Well, this is the organization that the Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, all report all their tithes to. And another interesting thing that he was pointing out to me is this Brant Scowcroft gave the talk, what do you call it, the baccalaureate speech, commencement speech at the BYU graduation this last year, and several times he mentioned the New World Order. And, of course, he mentioned also this friend that Eustace Mullen says that Brant Scowcroft is the one that coined the word the New World Order. I just thought that was interesting.
It is interesting. Thank you. And well, it's true. It's true. And here's another place where religion or where spiritualistic input literally got so usurped that it became a tool of the very thing that you're trying Well, it's just the very opposite of what you're trying to do. This is typical of what happens in religions, because they are the prime tool.
May I, on the subject of religion, could I ask a question? I have been like Paul.
I have been informed that the Church of Scientology was taken over by the elite controllers. Do you have any information on that?
I'm sure that they have been. I think that they were probably a great force in the formation of it. You see, there's good out of all of it. When you have ones telling you, don't go and look at that, don't go and look at this, that isn't the way God functions. And you will hear me over and over again. Look at everything you have time to look at. I did not say go experience. Don't go try everything that you see, because you have guidelines and it's not all right. That's like saying, well, it's all right, I'm going to go murder somebody now because, you know, that turkey told me that it was just perfectly fine to go and experience. No, it is not. But go and study. Go and look into, find out the facts. Truth will stand on its own into infinity. I welcome ones to investigate absolutely everything they can find about that which I offer you, because I'm not concerned about it. But when ones do things in secret places, I don't care how innocent it may appear, there is something to be hidden, if not just from your neighbor. You know, I'm going to tell you a little secret. There's a difference in secret and private. Private is something that is meaningful and therefore is valuable, and you keep it to self. Secret is something that basically you want to get spread around, but not the facts of it. So you have to be very, very careful. Anything that offers you secret rituals, secret special things, that you have to give to receive, and it has to be something of worldly nature, then you better watch out. It's gotten beyond the spiritual aspect of it and into the physical religion of it. Religion is nothing but indoctrination, doctrines of various and sundry clubs. And that's why we don't have groups, we don't have cults, we're just here. We bring the word. Anybody can take it and do anything they want with it. And I've had some suggestions what I can do with it. But I'm not concerned about it. It'll stand. It'll stand the test of all time.
Commander, I just wanted to add that from firsthand experience, this is one of the things that we had gone through in the Mormon Church, is the brainwashing, if you will, of telling you that something is not secret, it is sacred.
Yes.
And this is what you need to really begin questioning when you're told that, because that's the biggest bunkus of all. Because into the temples and things, it's like the commander just said, they're very physical things that you have to do in order to go to it. And then you are told, well, it's when you go through it, well, we don't discuss these things because they are sacred. It's not that they're secret, but they're sacred. So you really need to think about that.
Well, that's the same thing as national security.
You know, Commander, one thing real interesting about that sacred is the Mormons suppose called temple session. They have what they call a washing and anointing. And the interesting thing, we were reading Satan's Drummers and where you spelled out the satanic, where they use salt, and then the raw did a little ceremony. Well, the washing and anointing, I performed that as an ordinance worker in the St. George Temple for some 4 years, and I really, interesting, the similarity between that satanic ritual and what Mormons have as the washing and anointing. Yeah.
Yes, it is. And yet you can go right down to the Pentecostal church and find just as large discrepancies. And they're just a little more open about it. But the misinformation is just as horrendous, and maybe even a little bit more. Because, you see, the typical Mormon teaching of evolvement of man is more nearly on track than a rapture to some fluffy clouds with no direction or nowhere to go after that. You see, this is where I usually get ones mad enough on a radio program to hang up on me, is when I ask them, well, where are you going to go after you get to the cloud? Well, God will figure it out for me. And, you know, let's face it, God did. And he prepared for you. He said he would, he did. And it was not so haphazard as to be a fluffy cloud that is going to be radioactive by that day, if you're lucky enough to have a cloud. Have any of you noticed your sky? What's the matter with it? What happened to the blue sky? In this area, the sky is usually crystal blue. So something's up there. Something is up there. Did I hear Pinatubo? You know. I mean, how long can that dust volcano get blamed? They don't even blame Mount St. Helens anymore. But I'll tell you, Mount St. Helens was the clue to the final cycle for the angels, for the natives. Anybody want to interrogate Ray some more? He needs practice for his trials.
In connection with what Ron was saying about the Mormons and Satan drummers, there's something developing. We just got information on it yesterday. So I thought, in connection with what's happening here in the moment, there is a Catholic church situated down in the city of Los Angeles. It's in the neighborhood of the University of Southern California. And the information is that it is a satanic point. The details, I've heard them, but I don't have them. But I wanted to bring it up now so that the commander might have some words to say about it later, and so that I will investigate and get this information so that I can bring it to you.
Well, I appreciate that. And for you ones who don't know this, the gentleman speaking is Father Ed Cleary for 35 years in the Catholic hierarchy. And anybody who can look at his own life and say, hey, maybe there were one or two things wrong. You see, if you go down and you belong to the local Masonic order, you go down and you join as a citizen to do some social service for your community because it's organized and it's something you can do. And John Doe goes down and joins, and he doesn't pay a whit of attention to the rituals. He thinks they're a little bit amusing and a little bit immature, and that's kind of dumb, and they couldn't certainly be serious about it. So you have generation after generations of people, you the people, joining these organizations just as you, the people, go to church. And no, you don't know. You're very fortunate if you can stay long enough to begin to see the unfolding of the truth of it. It's the hierarchy. It's the ones who built this organization, knowing what would happen out there to the sheep who get sucked in and make these vows. I mean, sometimes they are pretty serious, brothers. The Illuminati, etc., are pretty serious. The first orders of Freemasonry, you're dead, and you'll be dead at your brother's hand if you divulge this information against the hierarchy. You see, what Princess Di of England just did is unheard of. She would have been in the tower dead by now. If it were not this day and time, and they don't quite know how to respond to what she's done. And so look what happens. The imbeciles come back on the same level. They're going to now destroy her as a person and her credibility. So you have this nobility that no one dares speak out against. And it's the same nobility that heads the Freemasons, the Mormons, the Catholics. It's all the same, do you see? And they are not godly. They are your anti-God. They proclaim God. They give themselves God's labels. And then they use force, fear, and power to manipulate you. And you're blinded. You think you have to listen to the Holy Father of Rome. Why? Who said? Well, that usually, if I've made it through the first counter, I never make it through the second one on a radio program. Who said you have to? Well, Preacher Joe said. Who is he? Well, he went to Harvard. That's a good one. Or Yale. He went to Yale and he learned all about it. He is a great scholar. Oh, scholar at what? Well, the Bible, of course. Oh, I see. You know, you can pretty soon, ones are into a rage, just like George Bush. Because you cannot argue against reason. You have to use these weapons to argue against reason. Reason doesn't need to argue. It just stands. But you have to remember to ask the questions. And let them make themselves look like the stupid idiots that they reduce themselves to becoming. You're going to find that many of the Catholic churches have covered, as in the Sister Charlotte story in one of our journals. It's a sounding board, these journals. I cannot say enough good about them. Not because I have something to do with them, but they are a sounding board where ones like Sister Charlotte can have voice. And ones like Ray Rinnick can have voice. And by now, ones out there enough are reading it. And the ones reading it pass it to hundreds. So the word does get out. And it gets out at the level where people can gather together and do something about it. And that's where you're at now. You have a prime opportunity right now. And I wrote today something that will give ones like Bogart some solid, substantial truth upon which to build. Richard Armitage, who is, well, I'd have to let Bogart tell you about him. It'll mean something greatly to him, is making his trek around and has just met with world councils, etc., in Australia. And his whole thrust is against Ross Perot, you see. Well, this is the same man that at the beginning early on in the Iraq War, and this was the way I built my credibility with Bo. Nobody knew about it. But Armitage went to Lebanon. And he was all tangled up in the drug places over in the Middle East at the opening of this war. They were getting it all squared away. This is a dangerous man. If you can rally those supporters of Ross Perot, you can get Bo elected, because you've got a fluke going on in the political system. You see, they put Ross Perot up as this candidate to keep Bo from being able to be recognized at all. If it went into the House of Representatives, they knew that Bo Grice would not be among them. They will only consider the top three. And you see, at the time that Ross Perot stepped down, he had done what he needed to do. He doesn't realize how much he has been gotten to. He is an establishment man. He is a close friend of Rockefeller, and a lot of stuff was going to hit the fan. Now, this was a good man. And he became a little Napoleon because he didn't realize what he was doing. And he could use this money as power to go and, for instance, get some hostages. And yet you could see the way and the direction that this was going. Now, you're faced with what really happened. What really happened with Ross Perot. You may never, never know. And I'm telling you, friends, it doesn't matter. If you rally right now, you can do something. I hesitate to push it. More than just rally. But if you don't get some of these leaders recognized, like Bo Grice, so that they are forced to put him onto the national media, who are you going to follow after the fall? Where will be your rallying point? You see, this is the point. They don't want you of leadership to be able to have a rallying point. And they don't want, certainly, the masses. They wanted the masses to be let down just like they were. Do you see